Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. Otherwise, how could I have told you that I was going to prepare a place for you? I am indeed going to prepare a place for you, and then I shall come back to take you with me, that where I am, you also may be. You know the way that leads where I go." "Lord," said Thomas, "we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The Gospel of the Lord. On this Feast of the Holy Souls, all of the readings come from the Mass of the Dead. Death is not something that's usually talked much about. It's something that's often hidden. It's something that's often very private. It's also something that's very painful. But yet we know the Church in her wisdom has never been afraid to talk about death. When we read the Scriptures, it's clear in the Old Testament that people don't quite understand what death means. Is there a life after this life? Because in the Old Testament, it seems clear God blesses you not in the life to come, He blesses you in this life. And the sign of a blessed life was many material possessions, property, and flocks, and also many children. They didn't know what to do with death. They had an instinct that there was something more, but they didn't quite know how to put it into words. And so death became something impure. Death became something so mysterious that we wanted absolutely no contact with it. The difficulty is that human beings, we can't avoid death. You know, there's a whole death and taxes thing. You can avoid taxes, or they'll just throw you into jail. But no one gets out of this world alive. You can't take it with you, no matter how hard you try. Even if we bury you with it, it's not going with you. Get a kick out of the people who want to be buried with a six-pack, as if there's no beer in heaven, for crying out loud. It's nuts. Of course there's beer in heaven. That is, if you need something like, if God isn't enough for you and you need a beer, I'm sure He'll find you a beer, you know? Good Lord. But we don't take it with us. And so as Catholics, we look at this mystery, and even in the Old Testament, they begin to recognize, is death really the separation that we think it is? Is it a total cutting off from God and from the human race? And it's clear that God continues to show us in the Bible that it's not. That nothing can cut us off from God save our own sins. We're the only ones that can cut ourselves off. Not even death separates us from God. That should give us great hope. That should give us some consolation that through this life, we know that there is a life still to come. In the preface for Christian Bearer, we hear, "Lord, for your people, faithful people, life has changed, not ended." And we think about death as a change to another type of life. And when we celebrate this Feast of All Souls today, we do come with sorrowful hearts. We remember those loved ones in our family or those friends who have died. And even if it was many years ago, there's still a sting with the loss. That the fact they're still not around us here physically for us to embrace or to talk to or to get advice from. And that's a hard thing. But we know as Christians that that's not the end. And we know it because Christ was raised from the dead. And so we hear clearly in the gospel, don't let your hearts be troubled about death. Death is a part of being human. And Christ, though he was fully God, chose to take on death, because death is the ultimate thing that we think keeps us from God. It's almost the absolute no to God, but because Jesus died on the cross for us, death becomes the absolute yes to God, because you cannot destroy life. You can destroy persons, but you cannot destroy life. Because to destroy life means to destroy God, and we know God is indestructible. Try as people will to say God is dead, like they said in the early 20th century. Or we can simply remove God from the world or from the marketplace or from society. He's not going anyplace. Because where there is life, there is God. But where there is death, there is darkness. And for us, that darkness has been conquered by the light. We have the Easter candle lit today to remind us that when we are given a Christian burial, our baptism makes our life shine brightly. That we have been enlightened by Christ, and nothing will take that away. And no matter how many troubles we have, no matter how much we might have suffered, or how much we've seen other people suffer in death, Christ is life for us. And for that reason, we know that God is with us. Now, God being with us and us being with God are somewhat of a challenge for us, because we have to recognize that through the life we lead on earth, that sometimes our life has been far from perfect. We have sins. We have broken relationships. The worst thing I've ever noticed with people is when they have relatives or friends die and there's still unresolved issues. I never got to tell my parents I love them, or I never forgave them for that one thing. And that bothers them and bothers them and bothers them. Because now they think there is no way ever to heal that rift. That'd be true if there wasn't a God who loves us and the God who gives us life. But because there is that God who loves us and gives us life, everything can be healed. And so we gather every time someone dies, not to canonize them. That's not what we do. We come and say, here before us is a friend of God. Here is someone who is baptized in the blood of the Lord and has been given new life and new hope. And even with their faults and even with their sins, we believe that God will be merciful. That's why we celebrate a massive Christian burial, to ask the Lord to have mercy on the dead and to have mercy on the living. And sometimes I wonder who needs it more, the dead or the living. Once people are dead, they can sin no longer. They can no longer separate themselves from God. But they also have to recognize that what they have done to separate themselves from God has consequences in the life to come. They're not ready to meet the Lord yet. And so we pray that God will purify them and make them ready, that they can meet the Lord. That's always been Catholic teaching from the beginning. We call it the doctrine of purgatory. But it's an important thing, because can we see God with sin still on our soul? And the answer to that is no. For us to live in the presence of the Lord, for us to take up residence in that home he has planned for us, we must be cleansed. And so we, as the church on earth, pray for those who are awaiting that entrance into the kingdom, that life with the Lord. We pray that God will have mercy on them. We pray that our prayers will continue to help them and cleanse them, that our forgiveness for the things that they might have done to us, and our prayers for their eternal rest, their prayers for their peace. Their prayers matter. Our prayers for them matter. We never forget the dead. We know as human beings we have memorials to the dead in many, many places. We have headstones. We have memorial services. But in our Catholic faith, we have an entire day in which the center of our faith, the Holy Eucharist, focuses on those who have died, focuses on those who are, like all of us, need God's mercy and need his forgiveness, so that we will be able to receive all that he wants to bestow upon us. We were created for heaven. Sin tells us we are just as happy on earth. Heaven was nowhere in our mind. That's what sin is. We're not thinking about heaven. We're only thinking about this life. So that should give us a reminder that even in our life, no matter if we're young or we're old or we're healthy or we're sick, we always have to keep our ultimate goal in life right in front of us. And that is our goal of being united with God. And we ask Him every day for mercy. We ask Him every day for purity. We ask Him every day for clarity. But most importantly, we ask Him every day for His love. And we ask Him for the grace that in our heart we can love Him more. That the love that was pained, the love that was wounded in the losing of someone that we have loved in death, that pain too will purify us. But that pain gives us hope. As we know in Christ we will see them again. We know in Christ they are not dead. They are alive with the Lord. They are alive in a way we can never, ever even begin to imagine in this life. And they now await God's glory. And we pray for them, just as we hope they pray for us, that we too will be united with them. And that as we have wept for them, today we also rejoice with them, because we know that they are closer to the kingdom of God. Some may, in God's mercy, have already reached the kingdom of God. But we ask them, as we pray for them, to pray for us, to help us in these times of difficulty, whether they be financial or spiritual or emotional or familial. Ask the souls to pray. Ask the souls in purgatory, ask the holy saints to help us on this journey. Because we know as the church, we're the whole church. And every time we gather for the Eucharist, we are here. We know that the saints are here. And we know also that our beloved dead are here. They pray for us and they pray with us. Let us always be mindful of that. And let it give us hope that we are a church who says there is life. Life from natural conception, earthly life until death, but after that, everlasting life with God. Let that be the center of our life. And let us recognize that if there is no life, then there really isn't a whole lot to live for. If there is no life, there is no God. But we know every day that God shows Himself to us. Let us pay attention to Him. Let us ask Him to help us love Him. And let us open our hearts by turning from sin, that we can receive that love, and that those that we have loved who are no longer with us will know the fullness of that love with the Lord at the heavenly banquet in heaven.